Happy New Year, happy 2020, and yes, it is already awards season. We're talking Golden Globes. This is the first of the Hollywood award shows. We're talking the Golden Globe Awards 2020, where 93 members of the Hollywood Foreign Press Association vote on these. We're talking TV and movies, right?
Yeah.
All right, Catherine Tulich, a member of that voting party, and it is a big party.
It's a great party, yes, exactly. Party of the year, we like to call it.
Yeah, I'd say the new year is off and running.
Exactly, and I mean, it's so early this year. It's 5th of January. I mean, it's really kicking off award season very early.
We've hardly had time to put the Christmas decorations away.
I know, right? And no one could eat over Christmas. I mean,
these poor celebrities have to fit into gowns and tuxes.
I know, they had to starve themselves. I'm just feeling so bad for them.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's Thursday night, so we're just days away from Sunday's big event. Mm-hmm. So I'm thinking celebrities tonight are probably with their trainer, dieting down, picking out their gowns.
Exactly.
Wow. Yeah. It's tough.
I know. All those stylists don't get a break either, those poor things.
Well, tis the season. Yeah. Okay, so let's talk about the excitement for this year. Mm-hmm. You have Ricky Gervais hosting.
Yes.
He's back.
Fifth time back. And I feel like it's sort of a genius move because I know a lot of the other awards are going hostless. It's a very difficult time to have a host at the moment because, you know, what are they going to say? What's politically correct? La, 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 la. And I love that Ricky really doesn't care.
I was going to say, don't we love him because he sometimes isn't?
That's the whole appeal of Ricky. Right. I think we don't know what he's going to say. Everyone in that room will be nervous, wondering if they're going to be a target. But, you know, that's what you get with Ricky. You know, it's no holds bar. And I love that about him. And I sort of feel like it's a good way to kind of kick off things and just shake people up for the beginning of the year. Let's just go for it.
Let's just have fun.
Well,
you're going to have so many big names in that room. And it's kind of like one of those awards. Well, you have TV and you have movies. Yes. And so many of these movie stars are now doing series.
That's why I think, you know, the Globes were always half movies, half television. But I think what's happened over, especially probably the last decade and even more in the last few years, is that so many movie stars are now going into television. There was a time back when, you know, they wouldn't touch. If you're a movie star, you would never do television. But now they can't wait to do TV. And there's such brilliantly written, fabulous roles now on TV. So you have the Meryl Streeps on television. You have these incredible people. Jennifer Aniston has come back to TV to do the morning show. So you have such a high caliber of actors now that that's what makes by mixing film and TV, we have this advantage of having like a room full of celebrities. It's pretty extraordinary.
And you mentioned TV and the movies and then streaming. So
yes.
Netflix has 17 nominations in television, leading the way.
Yeah, and I think it's like 34 nominations all up for us because they've got, you know, film as well. I mean, they, of course, are behind The Irishman, which has got a lot of nominations.
Which took me three sittings to sit and watch The Irishman because it's how long?
I think it's like 3 hours and 40 minutes.
So I did like an hour at a time.
Yeah, I know. Everyone says maybe it should be a miniseries. But what Netflix is doing is Martin Scorsese couldn't get that film made. So Netflix embraced it. They say, okay, go for it, Marty. And he did his dream project. So that's the other thing. Netflix now is getting involved, getting movies made that probably wouldn't have been made. So filmmakers are now got a home with Netflix that, you know, and it's interesting because Martin Scorsese was one of the people that was kind of criticizing these streaming service at first and then superhero movies going, you know, it's the death of real cinema. And now they're embracing it because they realize that they are actually getting creative ability now. Netflix is giving it to them. Netflix always does give a window to these movies, especially award type movies. You do get a window in the cinemas. So I know Martin Scorsese was very happy about the fact that he's, you know, The Irishman was on screens for people to see. Otherwise, yes, you can, you know, relax and watch it on your screen at home.
We're just happy to have Joe Pesci back on stage. back on the screen.
That's what's amazing. I still don't know whether he's going to turn up for the awards. He's quite sort of shy. So I don't know. He's nominated, but I wonder if he's actually going to be there because he doesn't really like any of that stuff.
He was so great.
And he took a lot of convincing for to come back to do that movie. So I'm kind of excited to see whether he's going to turn up for the awards or
Did
not.
Did you interview him?
No, because he doesn't really do this. We interviewed Al Pacino and Robert De Niro and Marty. Joe's not really, he likes to have a very private life now.
You know, it's funny. I did a golf tournament with him.
Really?
Years ago.
Right.
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Mm-hmm. What was he like? Because I've never met him.
I just remember he had a very beautiful woman with him. I don't know if it was his wife or a girlfriend at the time, but stunning.
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
All right. So it's the 77th annual Golden Globe Awards. It's in Beverly Hills, the Beverly Hilton. Where will you be that night?
Yeah, well, I'll be actually backstage, which is very exciting. I get to, when the winners come off the stage, I get to be interviewing them as they come off the stage and often get their first reaction.
Get that excitement.
Yeah, yeah. Their first reaction for winning an award. And I have to say, I remember like last year when there was a surprise, you know, Lady Gaga was up for Best Actress and Glenn Close won. And nobody expected, least of all Glenn Close, expected to win for The Wife. And she just walked off stage. I started talking to her and she's holding her globe. And I went, she's like, just, I can't believe it. This is just amazing. I never expected this. And that's what's really nice, to get those first moments, especially if they're not expecting it. So that's exciting for me to be able to talk to these people. And usually when you get like the best film, you know, you get the whole crowd back, the producers, the writers. You know, when Bohemian Rhapsody won last year, oh my God, they all came into the room and they're cheering and they're hugging each other. And it's really fun to see their first reaction. Really fun.
It's a long working night for you.
Yeah, pretty long, yeah. Yes. But fun. Can't complain.
So before we hit our categories, I just want to mention your two big honorees of the night.
Yes.
Tom Hanks and Ellen DeGeneres.
Yes.
Those are some big names.
And I actually saw the award that Tom Hanks is getting. It's like the Golden Globe, but it's got this marble base. And they had it in the office today, and it was like, I got to hold it. It's like 9 pounds, so it's very heavy.
Nice.
Yeah, but those special awards have this beautiful marble base that Ellen and Tom Hanks will be getting. So, yeah, it's nice that we've introduced the Carol Burnett Award. That's only, I think, now the second year we've been doing that.
That's what Ellen is receiving.
Yeah, and I think she's so deserving of that. So that'll be great.
And Tom Hanks receiving the Cecil B. DeMille Award.
Yeah.
All right, let's tackle the category, shall we?
Sure.
All right, so I have been binge watching like crazy to see as many of these films as possible and these TV shows. I've seen most of them.
Wow.
Not all. Yeah, I did well this year.
You should become a member.
Can I? Am I eligible?
No, I don't know. We're all foreign. No. We're all foreigners. No. Mm. Well, you have to represent a foreign a company. So I work for the Australian Broadcasting Corporation. So I have an Australian outlet. We do have Americans in the group, but they usually have a foreign outlet. So
some no.
Yeah.
I'm just a viewer.
Yeah.
Okay. So I have a list here. We'll just go through the list in the order that I have, if that's okay with you.
Sure.
Best limited series or TV movie. The nominations are Catch-22 on Hulu. Okay, I don't have Hulu yet.
Okay.
So didn't see that one. Chernobyl, that was, to me, like last season?
Yeah. Well,
HBO? Fossey Verdon, love
Which I
that.
Loved it, yes.
The Loudest Voice,
loved
Showtime,
it.
And Unbelievable, Netflix. Okay, got to see that one. That's one I haven't gotten to yet. All right, thoughts on that category?
Well, I have to say, there's a lot of my favorites in this. I think Fossey Verdon was just extraordinary.
It really was.
Michelle Williams and Sam Rockwell were
unbelievable.
I'm a bit of a Hollywood fan, so I love that history and learning about Bob Fosse. I just thought it was really, really good. I also thought The Loudest Voice was extraordinary. I really thought it did really put into a picture about the whole Fox, if I can talk about that. Fox, you know, Roger Ailes and that story. And Russell Crowe was extremely good in that. Unbelievable, another amazing Aussie in that, Toni Collette, who's also nominated. Really gripping story about a girl that was raped and then, you know, she's told stories about basically she's convinced to not tell the right story. And then you have this other story going on with two cops that are researching a serial one. And that's a really great one as well.
Toni Collette, by the way, she's been busy this year. Yeah. Knives Out as well.
I know. Yeah. It's great. And I have to say, I'm very proud that we have, I think, five Aussies nominated this year.
Congrats.
So, yes, which is great. Russell, Toni Collette, Kate Blanchett, Nicole Kidman, and Margot Robbie. So I think this is a very strong year for the Aussies. So
Margot Robbie and Bombshell.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. So Nicole Kidman in Big Little Lies. So we've got a great lineup. Chernobyl, yes, of course. I think the Emmy Awards recognize that as well. And Catch 22 is George Clooney's production. He was very passionate about redoing the Joseph Heller novel, and this was shot in Sardinia. It's obviously set in the war. And great series from Hulu.
So here's my question though, because I know I only saw part of Fosse Verdon last year, and then it was off. And then during some awards season, it came back on for a little while, but then it was off again. So some of these, can people still catch them, like Fosse Verdon, like Chernobyl?
I think if you have the streaming services, HBO, you can. Hulu, obviously, you can see on streaming. Showtime does have a – most of these shows have an app now that you can go in and see them on streaming. Unbelievable, I'm not sure, but that's CBS. Netflix. Sorry. Yes, I'm sorry. I was looking at the wrong category. Netflix. I think you can find these for sure.
Okay, I'm marking down the things I still need to see. Okay. All right. Best actor female in a limited series or TV movie. Let's just go ahead and talk about your favorites in that.
This is what the Caitlin. Caitlin. She's fantastic
and unbelievable. Also.
Yeah, and she's also in her co-star was nominated. She's also in a movie called Booksmart that Olivia Wilde
directed. I saw that
directed.
On the plane.
Yeah,
so really good.
Yeah, she's great actress.
Coming of age film.
Great, great young actress. Mm-hmm. Joey King again. Great. Young actress in The Act. She's really good in that. Helen Mirren, a legend. Who doesn't love Helen Mirren as Catherine the Great? Merritt Weaver again. She plays.
Unbelievable.
And Michelle Williams is awesome. She's just great in this.
Didn't she win the Oscar, Michelle Williams?
Do you mean for Fosse? I think she won the Emmy, yes. I think she.
Emmy?
Did.
Oscar?
Yeah. No, it's a TV show. So. She couldn't have won. She must have won the Emmy.
Okay.
Yeah.
Got it.
Yeah.
Sorry. I'm getting my award shows confused. That's why you're here. Okay. All right. So obviously a great category. And I love that you have a great age range here. Because Caitlin's young.
Joey's very young as well.
Yeah. And then you have Helen Mirren, who's just, like you said, an icon. All right. So moving on to best actor in a limited series or movie. We've named a lot of these movies already, but Sacha Baron Cohen in The Spy.
Yeah, I think people were surprised by that because, you know, it's quite a serious turn for him. And I think he was, you know, he was really good in that. So I think he really stood out. I think he's very happy that he got nominated for this. You know, Russell that I mentioned is just extraordinary. Jared Harris, extraordinary in Chernobyl. Sam Rockwell, I mean, just everything Sam Rockwell touches just seems to be magic to me. He is such a great, great actor.
Yeah.
And then Christopher Abbott, who, you know, he's in Catch 22.
So do you have a favorite in that category?
Being the Aussie, I have to say Russell.
Yeah.
But even though technically
for
he was...
For the loudest voice.
Technically he was born in New Zealand, but we do claim him as an Aussie. And he is so brilliant in this, and his performance is so good that, I think it's... hard to go past Russell in this category,
well,
in my opinion.
It's so interesting that he is up for the loudest voice playing Roger Ailes, and now you have the movie on the big screen, Bombshell, which is pretty much the similar story.
Yes.
Yeah,
exactly. Except the loudest voice, because it's a series, gets to really delve a lot more into the story and really takes it more from Gretchen Carlson's point of view, whereas I think Megyn Kelly in Bombshell is a little bit more the lead in that film. And
I've yet to see Bombshell, that's on the to-do list.
Oh, right. And okay. Charlize Theron does extraordinary work in Bombshell, and so she's nominated as lead actress for that.
Okay, let's go to Best Supporting Actor Female in a Series. We have Patricia Arquette in The Act, Helena Bonham Carter in The Crown, Toni Collette in Unbelievable, Meryl Streep in Big Little Lies, and Emily Watson, Chernobyl. That's a tough category.
Really tough.
Wow.
Because, you know, it's a tough category too because, you know, we have drama and comedy, but we only have one supporting nomination. So we have to sort of crowd them all in, which can be tough. But they're all outstanding. I loved Helena Bonham Carter in The Crown. I thought she was just great.
One of my favorite shows.
Yeah, I really liked her a lot. I mean, Meryl Streep, again, you know, with those girls and Big Little Lies was extraordinary.
She's nonstop, isn't she?
Yeah. I think that's going to be a very fun table, the Big Little Lies table. Nicole, Meryl. I think that's going to be a great table at the Golden Globes.
Now, does Meryl Streep, because of her name alone, does she have the edge over others?
It's a good question because I don't know, because you'd think, oh, yeah, she's, you know, the grand dame and she should, you know, probably stand out. But I think people have so much love for Toni Collette and unbelievable how good she is. Mm-hmm. And then also Helena Bonham Carter and then Patricia. I mean, they're all, that's a tough one. They're all so good. All those women are so extraordinary.
All right, then let's move on to Best Supporting Actor Male in a series, limited series, or a TV movie. Alan Arkin, The Kominsky Method. Kieran Culkin, Succession. That has done really well. Mm. Andrew Scott, Fleabag. How do you not love the priest that she falls
for? Priest.
The hot priest. Stellan Skarsgård, Chernobyl, and Henry Winkler Barry. We love the Fonz.
I think there's a lot of love for Henry Winkler, but, you know, he's already won an award for Barry. I doubt that he'd probably win again. I think Hot Priest might be the hot one in this one. Andrew Scott for Fleabag, I think, could very well take this one out. Kieran Culkin, I think, does a great job in Succession, which is, you know, really on top of many people's lists, is a great show. And I think Alan Arkin is just charming in The Kominsky Method with Michael Douglas. And Stellan Skarsgård, of course, very hard-hitting in Chernobyl.
Yeah, it's interesting to see that category because that Chernobyl, like you say, is so hard-hitting.
Yeah, yeah.
It's devastating what happened there. And then you have something like Fleabag.
Fleabag, I know. That's why it's kind of a strange category.
It is.
You know, it's you sort of think, yeah, I know. So they're all sort of mixed together.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Number 3 on my notes here. Best Actor Female in a TV Series Drama. Here's where you have Jennifer Aniston back in a series on The Morning Show. Olivia Colman, The Crown. I love Olivia Colman because she is working in The Crown and Fleabag.
I know.
Right? So she's doing a comedy.
Yeah.
And then she plays the
Queen.
She's
such a great actress. And I just thought she really takes over the older role of the Queen so well. And in a very reserved way because, a lot of those scenes, she's really just, you know, it's all in her eyes and all in her expression. And I think she does a great job. Jennifer Aniston and Reese Witherspoon, both magnificent in The Morning Show. And that show has become very beloved. Apple TV, new into the game, another streaming service now. I think if it hit big with The Morning Show, it's getting a lot of praise. People are loving it. So, and I think Jennifer is outstanding in it. So, you know, again, a tough category. Jennifer's great. Olivia's great. I mean, Jodie Comer, I think you love her in Killing Eve.
Yep. But she's won awards before.
She's won more awards before. Yeah. So is Nicole. So my tip is possibly between Jennifer and Olivia for that.
Okay, so here's what's funny to me. So you have Nicole Kidman for Big Little Lies, Reese Witherspoon, who's also on Big Little Lies, but she's up for The Morning Show.
Yes.
How busy is this woman?
I know. And she's producing so many projects. It's just unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Okay, best actor in a TV series drama. We're talking Succession, Game of Thrones, back in the scene here. Rami Malek for Mr. Robot. The Crown, Pose. Okay. Who's your favorite actor on this one?
I think Billy Porter might take this one out. Yeah.
Another award winner.
Yes, exactly. I think he's so outstanding in Pose. And I think he, even though all those guys are great, Brian Cox in Succession, Kit Harington is basically waving the Game of Thrones flag at the Globes because it was the only nomination for Game of Thrones, and he is fantastic. You know, Rami Malek is very loved, and that is the last season of Mr. Robot. Mm-hmm. Maybe there's a chance for Rami in there. So my picks would be between Rami and Billy Porter on that one.
So we got to know Rami Malek in Mr. Robot before Bohemian Rhapsody.
Yeah.
So this is the last season of
Mr.
Robot, right?
Mr. Robot, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
All right. So many good shows there. Gosh.
I know.
All right. Good luck, guys. We have Best Actor Female in a TV Series Musical or Comedy. So a Hollywood favorite, Christina Applegate in Dead to Me. Rachel Brosnahan, The Marvelous Mrs. Maisel, a regular winner for everything. Mm-hmm. Kirsten Dunst on Becoming a God in Central Florida. Natasha Lyon?
Leon
yeah. for Doll, Russian Doll, which is a lot of fun, that show.
Yeah.
And Phoebe Waller-Bridge, Fleabag. Her year was last year, wasn't it? She won a lot of stuff last year.
Well, the Emmys, but I think it's technically still the same year of television voting on.
I'm thinking 2019.
I know it is. It's only a couple of days ago, but yes, last year.
True.
But I think Phoebe's going to take that one out. I think she's a pretty clear winner for that one as well. So because Fleabag's still considered current for us, so mm-hmm. I think we might see Phoebe definitely taking that one out.
I love that Christina Applegate is doing so well.
Yeah.
You know, Married with Children aired, of course, here on Fox.
Right.
And just watching her grow up to see her continuing to work in this business is amazing.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and such a good show. And, you know, Rachel Brosnahan had, you know, I think Marvelous Mrs. Maisel is into the third season now. It's still brilliant. She's still so good in it. Kirsten Dunst's a new show on Becoming a God in Central Florida.
Is that show getting any buzz?
Yeah, it's getting a bit of buzz on Showtime. Mm. It's an unusual show. I've got to admit, I sort of started watching it. I personally couldn't really get into it, but some people love it. So, she's always great. She's always great. And yeah, Russian Doll's just a hoot. Mm-hmm. I think Natasha's brilliant. Mm-hmm.
Fleabag is my go-to show.
Oh, Fleabag's the best.
I've been binge watching Fleabag.
Yeah.
Okay, best actor in a TV series, musical or comedy, who do we have?
We have Michael Douglas in The Kominsky Method. Mm-hmm. He's a favorite, as always. Michael's very loved, and he's great in that show. Bill Hader, I think, is brilliant in Barry.
Wins everything.
Ben Platt in The Politician.
He's so good. I told my co-anchor, you've got to watch The Politician.
Yeah, he's great. Paul Rudd, adore him. It's a very fun show.
Haven't seen that yet.
Yeah, and Rami is amazing as well. This is sort of his own story, and based on his own story of growing up as a Muslim American and dating and all the things that go along with it. And it's a really good personal show. He's great too. So, but you know, Michael Douglas, I don't know, this again's a tough category. Michael's won it before. He's pretty loved. Ben Platt, it'll be great to see Ben get it, or, you know, possibly. Yeah, I don't know about Bill Hader. I think even though he's brilliant, but I think maybe Michael Douglas, or maybe as a new one, Ben Platt might get that.
Okay. Best television series drama.
All right.
Best television
series. Drama. It's Catch-22, Chernobyl, Fosse Verdon, The Loudest Voice, and Unbelievable. Again, tough. Fosse Verdon, brilliant.
Best television series drama.
Limited series. Sorry, I'm on the wrong page.
Yeah, because I think we did that one. Best television series drama, we have Big Little Lies.
Okay.
The Crown.
You better read them out. You've got them in order.
There's so many. It's confusing.
I know. I got my pages mixed up.
I got you. The Crown, Killing Eve, The Morning Show, Succession. So we've talked about nominees in all of these shows.
Yes.
Do you have a favorite?
I think The Morning Show might take this out because it's new. The Globes, has sort of renown for giving awards to new television. You know, we were the first to give it to Glee. There are so many shows that say, you know, if the even sort of other shows that we've awarded to them, they come back and go, if you didn't give us attention, you know, we wouldn't have gone on. So we do like the new in many ways. So Morning Show could take it out also because it's very, very good, or else Succession because it is just one of the best shows out there. So that's a tough one. I think it's going to be between Succession and The Morning Show.
I've seen all of those except The Morning Show. Now, I should have seen that because it's my industry.
Maybe you don't want to see it.
Well, it's on my to-do list to binge watch all of them.
Right.
Yes. Okay. We're talking best motion picture.
Okay. We're in the movies now. Go to the movies, yes.
Yeah, we can do movies now.
Okay.
Okay. Best motion picture comedy.
Motion picture comedy. Got it.
Got it? Okay. Dolomite Is My Name.
I know I should know all these off by heart, but it's just so hard to remember them all.
There's so many. Right?
Yes.
Okay, best motion picture comedy, Dolomite Is My Name. If you haven't seen that, that is just hysterical.
Yeah, and great to see Eddie Murphy back in top form.
Okay, big names in Jojo Rabbit.
Yeah.
Knives Out.
fun, just really, I think, back to the sort of Agatha Christie, those great, you know, where you get an ensemble cast and a whodunit. And Daniel Craig, like, you've never seen him before. I mean, he's so, because we're so used to him now in this serious James Bond role. And he's quite funny in this. You know, he has this really broad sort of crazy southern accent, and he's like the Hercule Poirot and trying to discover who did what. You know, it's a lot of fun, this movie, you know, and
it's a cast of who's who. Jamie Lee Curtis,
Toni Collette, Don Johnson, that guy never ages.
Yeah, he
just
was great.
Christopher Plummer. I mean, a new beautiful star, Ana de Armas, who's in it as well. I mean, we just.
And one of the Chris's. I always say there's so many Chris's right now.
Oh, right. Chris. You're right. Is it? Yeah. You've struck me now. Chris Evans? Is it Chris?
I think so.
Yeah, right. Yeah. He's just agreeing. So.
That's what I say. What are the Chris's?
Yes, one of the Chris's. We get them mixed
Captain
up.
Captain America, Chris Evans.
Yes, Captain America. Thank you.
All right. Then you have Once Upon a Time in Hollywood and Rocket Man.
Yeah. Ooh. Well, I loving music, Rocket Man is one of my favorites because I really thought it just did a beautiful way of telling Elton John's story in a very poetic, wonderful way. And Taron Egerton did it so well. But, you know, I have to say, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, I loved it more and more. I think I saw it a couple of times. It, you know, it's a long film. There's so many things going on, but I still think you just love it. I mean, it's just such a Valentine to that era of Hollywood. I love the way that he kind of did a revision story on Charles Manson, shall we say, and that whole era. But I just thought it was just so well done with Leonardo DiCaprio and Brad Pitt as the fading actor and his you know, stuntman, and how they navigate that world. I mean,
will they be there, Brad Pitt, Leonardo DiCaprio?
Yeah, they're both going to be there.
Wow.
For sure. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. Like I said, it's Star Power Plus.
All right. Best motion picture drama. 1917, a war film. I haven't seen that one yet.
Brilliant, brilliant.
Right. We do know about The Irishman. Long.
Mm.
Joker, that's on my to-do list.
Oh, you haven't seen it yet.
But I have the screener.
Oh, okay.
Got the screener on that one. Marriage Story. I love that. Friend of mine didn't want to watch it, said, I don't want to watch someone's divorce.
Were they going through divorce? Or they had divorced?
They had been divorced. Maybe.
Oh, yeah. People that have been through, obviously, it's so close to the bone, this movie, about relationships and how it starts so beautifully and you're madly in love and you're everything that you love about them. That's what this journey is so great in Marriage Story. And then how that can completely change this person that you were in love with, and then how that can completely change. And then, obviously, the horror of divorce and lawyers and all that happens.
What? I'm on Team Adam Driver. I love him.
Me too. He's
loved
so good.
Girls,
in this,
loved him in Star Wars.
He's so good. So I think with people, they're either watching it going, "Oh my God, that's my story," or they don't want to watch it. Yeah.
The Two Popes.
I started that. I love that movie.
It's so beautiful.
I have to say, my personal favorite, and honestly, my favorite movie of the year was The Two Popes.
Really?
Yeah, I saw it in Telluride. It debuted in Telluride Film Festival back in August, and no one really knew what to expect. A movie called The Two Popes, and you know, you walk in, and then this story just played out so beautifully. The transition between the last pope and the current pope, Pope Francis, and how the Catholic Church, and they bring up the controversies. They do bring up a lot about the Catholic Church. It's an imagined conversations between the two popes. They didn't really happen. They met a few times, but Anthony McCartan, who wrote the script, he sort of imagined what their conversations would be like. And within that context, got to tell you the history of Pope Francis, because it goes back into his sometimes controversial history in Argentina. And it tells the story beautifully, and also how the Catholic Church needs to change and how its conservatism has to change. But on top of that, it's actually just really, there's like some beautiful, fun moments in this. There's some parts you just want to laugh. And Anthony Hopkins and Jonathan Pryce are so good in this that, you know, I don't think anyone would watch this film and be disappointed. Yeah. It's just one of those really great films.
Yeah. Okay, so we're talking some categories. I just want to bring up a name that we are hearing for the first time in the conversation here. Best screenplay, motion picture, Parasite.
Oh, yeah. Now, this is... just Parasite is in our foreign film because we can't nominate foreign films in our major film categories. It's split. But there is a lot of talk that Parasite will be Oscar nominated and possibly be the winner because it has been so loved by critics, audiences. And this is a Korean director. It's in Korean, but he is such an inventive, amazing director. I mean, I won't tell you the whole story, but basically it's about, I suppose, the clash of lower class and upper class and how that can clash and how it's just so inventive, this film, that it won in Cannes. It's won at many film festivals. And most people that see Parasite go, this is incredible. And there's so much strong talk about Parasite that I think for sure it'll win the best foreign film for us. But watch out for it in the Oscars as well.
Okay, so what other categories do you all have with motion picture?
Well, we have the acting categories.
Yes. Okay, should we start with supporting or acting?
Let's start with actress because I've got it right in front
of me. Let's go. All right.
So we have best actress in a motion picture drama.
Yes.
Cynthia Erivo in Harriet. She played Harriet Tubman.
Yes, powerful.
And Cynthia Erivo is a well-known Broadway star, an unbelievable, you know, music star, singer. Her song that she co-wrote for Harriet, which is a great song, is nominated in our best song category. She's so strong in this. She also happens to be a runner and very fit, which was very helpful for when you're running away in this film, which is, you know, a lot about, because she goes back in and in after again and again to get to free so many slaves. I mean, her legacy is unbelievable. So then we have Cynthia, we have Scarlett Johansson that we spoke about, Marriage Story. Saoirse Ronan in Little Women. This was directed by Greta Gerwig. And this is a remake of Little Women. And we've seen Little Women many times before. Most recently, there was a version with Winona Ryder, which I think one of the channels was just running on the weekend, so it was nice to see that one again. But what Greta Gerwig did with this version of Little Women, which I thought really updated it, was the fact that she did it in a way that it wasn't just the story. It also told the story of the background of the author as well. And she sort of wanted to switch it up time-wise to show how women, you know, really made their place back then, and also how she was such a leader by writing this novel. So it's a beautiful version of Little Women. If you've seen the others, this is still a very different way of looking at Little Women.
I'm a little behind on this category here. I also have not seen Judy with Renee Zellweger, and
amazing.
I love her.
Amazing version of Judy. I mean, she's just, what's great about Renee Zellweger's performance is that it's not a copy of Judy Garland. She's really made it her own. It's very much Renee Zellweger playing Judy Garland, but she does it in such a way, and she did all the singing as well. I mean, imagine trying to sing those Judy Garland songs.
Okay.
And it is a particular time just before Judy unfortunately left us at the age of 47 when she was really broke. She had kids to look after. Drugs had ravaged her. Mm. And she has to tour London to make some money. And it's really about those last few months in Judy's life. But it also flashes back to when she started, you know, Wizard of Oz and that. So
okay,
brilliantly
so
played by
I'm
Renee.
I'm going to move it along just a little quicker here. Mm. Best actor in a motion picture. So we've talked about some of the movies, Marriage Story, Joker, The Two Popes. But here you also have Antonio Banderas in Pain and Glory.
Oh, amazing.
And Christian Bale in Ford versus Ferrari.
Yeah, that Antonio Banderas is incredible because Pain and Glory, again, that's in our foreign film, but it's Pedro Almodovar who's a very it's his sort of a homage to, in a way, to age and looking back, and it's a very personal film. Antonio Banderas, probably one of the best roles I've ever seen him do. Mm. And Christian Bale plays the race car driver in Ford versus Ferrari, and based on a true story, and he is very good in that as well.
Okay, best actress in a motion picture, musical, or comedy. We've talked about these movies, Knives Out, Booksmart, but then also you have Late Night, Where'd You Go, Bernadette, and The Farewell with actresses in those films.
Yeah, The Farewell, again, is a foreign film for us. Lulu Wang directed that.
With Awkwafina.
Awkwafina. And, I mean,
from
we're normally
Crazy Rich Asians.
Yeah, but in this, it's a very serious role. It's about her grandmother's passing away from cancer and the family that don't want to tell her. The family has decided they're going to keep it a secret. And Awkwafina, her role is she's very conflicted about that because she knows it's her last time she's gone back to visit her grandmother. grandmother, and she knows it's her last time. So, yeah, that's a very, very different role for Awkwafina, and she's brilliant in this.
I loved Beanie Feldstein in Booksmart.
Yeah, Booksmart was fun, wasn't it? It was good. Uh-huh. Yeah, she's a real standout, Beanie, in this. Really, really good.
And then Cate Blanchett in Where'd You Go, Bernadette. I did catch that one.
Yeah, that was Cate's always great.
I liked
great.
Her.
Yeah, you know, the film wasn't so great, but Cate's always great. So, mm-hmm. you know, and then Emma Thompson, Late Night, was a really fun film about, written by Mindy Kaling, about a late night host. Played by Emma Thompson. She's brilliant in it.
Got to catch that one. Yeah. Okay. Best actor in a motion picture. We talked about Knives Out, Jojo Rabbit, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Rocket Man, and Dolomite. So all the actors in that category. Daniel Craig, Roman Griffin Davis.
Who's very young. Yeah,
people
he's
may
just
not
the boy.
Know. Yeah. Yeah, he plays the little boy in Jojo Rabbit.
He plays the boy in Jojo Rabbit. Really great. His first role.
How old is he?
Yeah, I don't know. I think he's like 9 or 10. He's pretty young.
Wow.
Yeah.
Congrats.
Yeah. Leonardo, great in Once Upon a Time. I love Taron Egerton in Rocket Man. I thought he was brilliant. So, again, great performances here.
And Eddie Murphy in Dolomite. Yeah. Good for him. Right? Okay. Let's go to supporting. You have your supporting category up?
Yes, I do.
All right. Supporting actress, motion picture. Kathy Bates in Richard Jewell.
God, I didn't know that story that well. I know it's very well known here, but that was a riveting film by Clint Eastwood, really. And Kathy Bates playing Richard's mother.
All right, Annette Bening in The Report, Laura Dern in Marriage Story. Laura Dern is on fire. She is in Big Little Lies as well.
Yeah, she's great.
Jennifer Lopez.
I love her in Hustlers.
Hustlers was great.
I think she was great in Hustlers.
And Margot Robbie of Bombshell. How do you pick in this category?
It's definitely between Laura Dern, I think, is a big favorite in this one. But Jennifer Lopez, I have to say, I think she was great in this. I think she played this role brilliantly. And I think it really showed that Jennifer has the chops to act and act really well.
So in Best Supporting Actor, you have two actors from The Irishman up against one another, Al Pacino, Joe Pesci. Brad Pitt, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, Anthony Hopkins, The Two Popes, and Tom Hanks, A Beautiful Day in the Neighborhood. A win night for Tom Hanks either way, right? Because he's getting the big Cecil dinner.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I think Brad Pitt's probably, I think it's going to be hard to beat Brad Pitt in this role. Really hard. He was so good in this Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It reminded me of, Brad, the best of Brad, the charm, everything that we loved about Brad Pitt. I think he's so good in this. So I think he's going to be very hard to beat in that category.
So looking at one of the categories we haven't mentioned, which is Best Original Song, the only place we see Cats. Right? What happened to Cats?
I think they've even taken that away from consideration for the Oscars now. I think For Your Consideration's been scratched.
Right.
I guess it had high hopes and didn't quite meet them.
Yeah.
I think it was the difficulty of a good director meeting maybe this whole sort of CGI and trying to make it very advanced by how it looked, but maybe just things didn't quite work out. So, yeah. But Taylor will be there for Cats.
Taylor Swift?
Taylor, yeah, she's coming to the awards, so she'll be there.
Wow.
And Elton John is flying in from Australia because he's currently touring Australia. He's coming in for the awards and then flies straight back to do another concert. That guy doesn't stop. So
being a member of the union, I do get to go to some of the screenings, and he is doing a screening on Saturday.
Oh, great.
So I got in the door on that one.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, I know you see all the films. I just try to get to a few a year.
Yeah.
Through the screenings.
I love Rocket Man, and I think Elton's great. So,
I did see it, though, already, too.
Yes.
Okay, and Best Director. So we obviously know the controversy in this category where there are no female directors nominated in the Best Director category for motion picture, although a lot of the films or the stars in their films are nominated. So let's go over the names that we have here in front of us. Martin Scorsese, The Irishman.
Yeah.
Quentin Tarantino, Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. Bong Joon-ho, Parasite.
Mm.
Sam Mendes, 1917. Todd Phillips, The Joker.
Well, a lot of people are talking. Obviously, you'd think it's going to be Quentin or it's going to be Martin Scorsese. But so many people love Sam Mendes, what he did with 1917. It's cinematically brilliant. He does this. He really takes you into World War I in 1917 and does it almost like it's one shot. So he might be, even though you might think it's going to be Quentin, maybe it is, maybe it's going to be Marty. But 1917 is getting a lot of buzz and a lot of talk now and about how brilliantly directed it is. So look out for that one. He might just sneak in there.
All right, so I think we have all of the categories. I'm looking at your list of presenters for the night. A long list of A-listers among the names that are listed. We've mentioned a lot of names because they're starring in some of these shows. Tiffany Haddish, Octavia Spencer, Sofia Vergara, Kerry Washington, Ted Danson, Kate McKinnon, Salma Hayek.
Wow.
Yeah. Nick Jonas.
Nick. I love Nick. Yeah, it's going to be pretty extraordinary, isn't it? Yeah. So if we don't have stars, you know, nominated, we have plenty of stars presenting. So exactly. It's a pretty big night. It's going to be a hell of a red carpet.
So your thoughts on the Golden Globes 2020?
I don't know. I think, you know, it's going to be a fun show. I think everyone's going to be entertained. I think Ricky's going to be a really great host. And I think there's no losers, really. I think there's so many good performances. So it's going to be a really tough night to – I think everyone deserves it. So it's going to be really hard to see the ones that are going to lose and the ones that are going to win. But they can't all win, unfortunately.
As you look back, were there any snubs that you can remember? Or are you just so into the award season, you're just ready to go?
No, well, I mean, it's just things like sometimes – it's sometimes sorry that – many things get overlooked, and you know that it's just very hard for everything to rise to the surface. I mean, this is probably not a movie a lot of people know, but Sienna Miller, who is a brilliant actress, I thought did one of the best performances of the year in a film called American Woman, which probably not many people have seen. So it's sometimes hard when those little films don't get the attention that, you know, maybe the films that are backed by Netflix and that sort of. So sometimes it's, you know, it's sad not to see every film up there, but it's tough because there's five nominations in each category. So not everyone always gets in that, you know, we wish you could have 20 people sometimes.
Have you interviewed all of these actors and directors?
Most of them, yeah. I'd say most of them. Yeah. Pretty much most of them, yes. Except Joe Pesci.
Right. So how do you get ready for Sunday?
Still trying to figure out the dress. I got like five dresses trying to figure out which one to
do. And will you wear comfy tennis shoes?
I think after the first few hours, probably, yes. I think I'll be kicking off the shoes. Definitely the parties, because there's like five, I think there's six parties in the Hilton alone. So that's a lot of running around when the awards finishes. Because that's what's really great about the Globes. With the Emmys and the Oscars and even the Grammys, the parties are all over town. Whereas we've got the benefit of the fact that the Hilton is where the show is. And then it's just walking distance to all the parties. You don't have to grab Ubers so that's very cool. So at least you can get around to all the parties.
I love your life.
Thank you.
I love your life.
Thank you.
It's a lot of fun, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so the Golden Globes are on Sunday. My DVR is set, so I like to go back and watch everything all over again. Thanks for coming.
Thanks. Always a pleasure.
It.
Thank you.
Yeah. Okay, award season off and running. Thanks for being with us.
Thank you.